everyone. Welcome back to But Why, the podcast. And today we have a special interview for you from the Austin Film Festival. I got a chance to sit down with the writer and director of the Netflix original Rattlesnake, Zach Kilditch. Enjoy the show and make sure you add it to your Netflix queue. Thank you so much, Zach, for talking with me today. I got to see Rattlesnake yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually my favorite of the Netflix and Chills lineup that have come out. Oh, nice. So I have to ask, what kind of went into directing this type of film? Because there's a lot of playing with visions and reality and what is real and what isn't. How did you kind of approach that to like delineate which is which?
Well, I just played everything from the main character, played by Carmen Ejogo. sort of played everything for real through her headspace, because the whole movie, we're locked in her head. Yeah. And therefore, anything she's seen or anything she's experiencing is something that we're visually then getting, you know, ourselves. And just playing all of those things for real and like wherever we could. And then I think that you... through that language, you then sort of figure out exactly where the nice little niches are to like really, you know, put your foot down on like pushing those supernatural elements a bit further, or like backing them off. But ultimately, whatever she's experiencing, we're seeing. So yeah. I just love movies that put you in a character's shoes, and and I think you just have a great cinema experience when you're locked in that situation.
Yeah, there's a scene towards the end where it's in kind of like in the mountains, like in this little cavernous area, and it's really claustrophobic. And we're really in her headspace. Was that hard to shoot?
It was really hard. Like, it was so remote. There was an area of New Mexico called, I think it was called Plaza Blanca. And it's really remote to get to. So even doing a tech scout there with the bus, like you could only take the bus so far, and everyone had to get off and go on foot on this hike. And so it was like bare bones out there to get those scenes done. But it was just such a beautiful spot as well. Like when I first saw it, because when I wrote it, it was always supposed to be these kind of twisting labyrinth canyons. Yeah. And so when we found them, I was just so happy, because we were sort of running out of options. And then we'd heard about how remote this place was, but we just had to see it. And when I saw it, everything just sort of only needed the tiniest tweak from a script level to fit the physical location that we were now looking at. But it was just stunning, and it was like being on another planet. Like, just, it was otherworldly.
Yeah, there's something really fantastical about that moment.
Like, yeah, it's just crazy. It's almost like a temple, you know? There's like, it's like a real temple vibe to it. Almost like this, like, in terms of like the sort of curse and the sort of mythology running throughout the film, like it sort of ties in nicely in a weird way to this, like, this other time almost.
So one of the things that really struck me about Katrina as a character is that a lot of times when you kind of see movies like this, there are people who like, okay, I have to do what I have to do, but they're okay with resigning themselves to it. And Katrina consistently struggles with, even when she thinks she's made her mind up, she like stops herself. Like, what went into like choosing to write a character that way that is, in all honesty, extremely likable and really real?
Yeah, I just wanted it to be as complex as possible, and because it was real, like we can all fantasize about how easy it would be to kill someone, but when it really comes to it, like, I'd imagine it isn't that easy, you know? And she really, really struggles with it, even when she has, like, her opportunities to make it all go away. Like, she has to get that nerve. And, you know... I just also liked dabbling in a world where, you know, other films like this probably would have had a, like, one up, you know, the entity that's causing this to happen, and figure out how to not have to kill someone. Yeah. Well, I'm not interested in those sort of movies. I think it's much more compelling to, she just has to get out of this situation. And even when she sort of figures out enough about what's happening to her, she's like, but I still have to do this, because it's the only way I'm going to get my daughter back. And from that moment forward, like, it's just, you know, it's balls to the wall. Her time is running out. And like, watching her have to commit to the decision rather than get out of the situation she's in, I think is just far more psychologically interesting and complex.
And there was a lot of elements when you bring in kind of like the specters of people who have died before because of this curse. They haunt her, and some of them seem to be pushing her, but some of them just seem to be there. Like, what was the choice to kind of like not make them so much like the exposition characters, but more of, you know, just putting us in her head? Like, what made you decide that instead of going into like so much exposition?
Yeah, I mean, we were sort of referred to them as the debt collectors when we were making the movie, the sort of the ghosts of Christmas past that keep appearing and reminding her that she's got a job to do. And each one of them sort of has a very subtly different purpose on her journey, like the little boy.
That instance, one terrified me.
About, hey, tick, tick, you know, TikTok, time's running away. And, you know, the sort of lawyer character is there to tell her about the rules of the world. And so they've all got these very specifically different agendas given where we are with Katrina's journey at any given time in the movie. And, when I was originally writing it, like, I was intending it to always be the woman from the trailer that keeps appearing. Yeah. But then when I got to the hospital scene, like, the second time that she gets visited, I just realized this could be so much more unique and interesting if this is a curse and it's in this town. Like, well, what about the other victims? And I thought, wow, that could be a really interesting way to sort of tap into the larger than life, the otherworldliness, the things she'll never really know, but just giving the audience enough of a hint about just how widespread this thing is in this town and how long it's been going for. And by doing that with the former victims, which her daughter would have become yet another one if she didn't succeed, was a really fun way to explore that.
Yeah, because one of the things that I thought was super interesting was we never really learn about the other people who were put in Katrina's place. We just see the victims. We don't see that other piece. Was that choice to just center Katrina in this as like her own curse, or what was the thought behind that?
Yeah, well, I just thought that again, in this sort of genre, how can I bring like the otherworldly spirits back? And so they always had to be the victims, not the perpetrators. But then I really liked in the sort of scene where there's a bit of video where she actually gets to see one of the people that was in her shoes, the school teacher who did what he had to do. It was always a conscious decision to make these people ghosts. And so that tied in nicely to the fact, well, they absolutely have to be the poor bystanders who were just randomly chosen because people were in a tight spot.
And when it came to the horror elements of the film, they kind of, I mean, obviously psychological horror is throughout, but when you look at more of like the bodily things, specifically the hiker in the canyon, which all of a sudden her body just twists, what were the choices to remain honestly kind of subtle in those moments? And you really let the psychology be the star of the horror. What were the choices to keep it from going like full body horror with these victims?
Yeah, I consciously didn't want it to ever go too far into like, you know, having some sort of like crazy goofy kills or anything.
Yeah.
I wanted the horror of it all to be real and to be very unsettling. And again, to give you just enough of a clue as to how these people, you know, found their end.
Yeah.
And the hiker was a great one because like we sort of tied that in, you know, never fully explaining what happened to her, but her neck clearly got fucked up.
So
someone's either pushed her down a canyon or they've strangled her or both or she's met some really bad end on this happy-go-lucky hike. This Australian hiker decided to have this day in Texas. But I always wanted him to be just like sinister without pushing it too far, because I feel like if we had kept escalating that, it would have been just a bit too much, given that the true horror awaits in the reality of Katrina's decision at the very end of the movie. Like that's, I wanted that one to not be too overshadowed by, I wanted that to feel very real and very honest. And I think if it had been overshadowed by some of the other elements, maybe it wouldn't have been as effective.
Yeah. So what were some of your inspirations like when writing this? Did you look to any other materials or anything like that to kind of like get a feel for the supernatural and the curse?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen King's DNA is running all throughout this movie. Like, my best pitch for it is basically it's based on a Stephen King novel that Stephen King never wrote. And that was sort of the vibe I was going into it with after my previous film, which was a Stephen King adaptation, 1922. I was in that sort of King zone of just like really loving his writing and how he just burrows under the skin of his characters. Yeah. And this really to me is like, very much inspired by King. It's inspired by the Twilight Zone. Like, I really loved the early original Twilight Zones as a kid. And even now, like, they still hold up, you know. And ordinary people caught in extraordinary situations. That's sort of stuff I really like exploring.
And when it comes to cast, like, in my review, it's a large cast, but it's very much a focused cast. Like, Katrina is the star of everything. How was it kind of directing Carmen and stuff in, in that area?
So easy because she's so talented. She's so amazing. You know, she's in every scene. It's her movie. And yeah, she just really got the material from the first time she read it. We clicked like immediately. You know, we'd never met each other before, but then we very quickly had to form a relationship. Yeah, it was just such a treat working with her because we could try things out. You know, she had such interesting ideas. You know, we knew when to trust the script. We knew when to sort of throw it away and try something else. Like, it was just so easy with her. And you know, I look back and just can't imagine another actress, you know, pulling off this role. Like, she just fully committed 110%.
Awesome. Well, when it comes to, like, because it just came on Netflix today, mm-hmm. As people are watching this, what are some of the things that you want your viewers to feel when they watch it?
Unsettled, terrified in spots, but mostly just to be in her shoes and this moral quandary, this moral dilemma, you know, and to really think, you know, like, what would I do in that scenario? And even more so than that question, it's almost like, you know, how? Like, yeah. Not so much it's the how. How would you possibly go about this if you knew there was no way out? So who would you choose? And I think that's quite an interesting dark question.
Yeah.
And just following a character really go through that, like, you know, and the decision she makes about how it might be an easier option, only to realize that she's going to have to go the hard way if she's, you know, gonna figure it out. So yeah, that was sort of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, because I honestly really appreciate it, because the moment she picked the guy that she was going to, I was like, oh, he's a bad guy, this is I know what's gonna happen, she's gonna easily kill him and this is gonna happen, and then it switches and it's never easy. It's something that can, like, really easily get away from you. How did you kind of use the interaction between Carmen and, you know, her potential victim, who's also a really great actor, in those scenes? Like, how did you kind of, like, build tension between them, like, script-wise to keep us guessing? Because I was not sure what was going to happen after they left the house.
Yeah, like, it was really interesting when the trailer came out a few weeks ago, because people just love winning. Like, yeah. They love going, oh, I know what happens in the end. Like, this, she's clearly going to do this, or she's going to do that. And none of them actually were correct. Like, if you watch the movie, it zigs and then it zags and then it zigs and then it zags again, and then you think it's going to do the thing you always thought it was going to do, and then it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then it actually ends up doing something quite, I think, very honest and real and gritty, and that's what I really love about the ending. Again, like, another movie like this would have her outwit the entity, but I think, yeah, it's just far more compelling to watch someone just do within the constraints that they're given. And then be changed forever as a result.
And was it hard to kind of, like, write against tropes and, like, actively subvert things? Because I feel like when it comes to storytelling, and, like, it's easy to fall into those things. Like, was it something that you had to, like, actively push against and, like, look at your script and be like, okay, wait, this actually goes too far to this trope, trying to zag?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched so many films like this that dabble in this sort of genre. And, it, you know, I mean, everything's been done. So to make something new out of all of the tropes, all of the stories that have been told, all the ones that have worked, all the ones that that haven't, where do you find that niche for yourself if you're trying to pull off one of these kind of films? And for me, it was always just staying true to almost like a first-person shooter again.
Yeah.
The biggest rule in this movie is, okay, we're going to always be with Katrina, you know, then we can get into the psychology. And anything that comes from there just has to be grounded in a level of reality, because the situation is so heightened that the more compelling way to watch just to create the story was that, like, she needed to be making real world decisions in a real world that just so happens to have this heightened element over the top of it.
Yeah.
And that nice conundrum, that nice juxtaposition, just sort of creates a weird tension, I feel. And just really let me play around with, like, is this in her head? Isn't it in her head? And then, and again, like, zigging when we should be zagging, like, just really trying to subvert, like, moments, especially in the third act, that, you know, you feel it's going down a path only to be surprised. And then that cat and mouse element as well out in the canyon. Yeah, it was actually fun, like, just doing everything I could to make sure it wasn't going to do the conventional thing. Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed it a whole bunch. Like I said, it's my favorite of the Netflix and Chills lineup this year.
Awesome.
And then what's next for you? Directing-wise, writing-wise?
Yeah, I've just got my fingers in a bunch of pies at the moment. Hopefully that one of them cooks and can be edible. I'm just sort of doing another film that's sort of, again, that intimate character study that's based in a big genre world.
Yeah.
That, again, subverts things that you potentially have seen before with those kind of films. And, yeah, that's just sort of the sort of lane that I'm in right now as a writer-director. Hopefully there's another film out soon.
Yeah.